Hey Chad, before we jump into this episode, you and I had talked after we had left, and we had the pleasure and the honor of sitting down with someone who many could consider a legend in the tree dog world, Mr. Gamble. And it really was just an honor to sit down and talk to him. And I guess we kind of got caught up a little bit in just listening to him, and we failed to talk about a few things.
Yeah, I take for granted talking to Leroy. I talk to him so much, and I get so much knowledge from him and some backstories. But Leroy is humble. I mean, just it's like pulling teeth getting to talk about his dog, especially talking good about him. But some of the things we didn't get out of him that we'd like to mention is 1990, Hillbilly Mike was the PKC National English High Point Dog. Also 1990, PKC National English Champion. And in 91, he was a PKC National Champion. 2001, Hillbilly Mike made PKC Hall of Fame. And another story that I'd talked to him about, a couple times or heard about, that when Mike was a pup, he had won the High Point Puppy for that year in PKC. And also, he was considered to be the High Point male dog. And the owner of PKC that year decided to get four cruises and give to the High Puppy male, High Puppy female, High Point male, and High Point female. So Leroy actually got two of those things to go on cruises. And he said he didn't care nothing about getting on no big boat, so he sold them back to him.
Yeah, and like I told you, I'd have been in big trouble. My wife's the traveler. I'd have been sleeping with the dog in the kennel if she found out that I sold those cruise tickets back. I'd be in trouble.
But, going back to I think we got it on tape that, talking about how much money Mike had won, or maybe that was even after two, but, it didn't sound like much now, but looking back in the, 1990, 91, even 88 time frame, money was probably, if you figured that, let's say he won $5,000, that'd be worth $15,000 or $20,000 today. So you can't just go by what he said he won. You also got to look at the time when he won it and what, what the money meant back then too.
Yeah. And you hear a lot of the people that have the shows like ours, all the hosts, it seems like we all get into it for a similar reason. Not only do we love to talk about dogs and we enjoy what we do and we all have a passion for it, but one of the coolest things I think about being able, with the technology and the ability to have podcasts and social media and everything we have now, I think it's awesome that, we have the opportunity to sit down and record a conversation with someone like Leroy, who's, we probably didn't even scratch the surface of what's, wrapped up in his head that didn't come out. We didn't think to ask, or he didn't think to tell us, or whatever the reason. But it really is, to me, it's cool to be able to sit down and talk to, not just Leroy, but anybody we have on the show. It's just cool to be able to capture that moment in time. And it's just always going to be there. You can always reference back on it. And I don't know. I mean, so this episode was pretty cool to me just because, as far as experience and lineage in the sport, Leroy is, he takes the cake as far as the first three guests we had, just well-known, well-respected, both in coon dogs and squirrel dogs. He's had good success. And I think we mentioned a little bit in the episode, we hit on the bench show with him a little bit, but, as a bench show lover myself, there's one thing that you can't deny the man, and I just, even when I look at his dog standing on the tailgate on Facebook, I'm just jealous at how pretty they are. They all know how to stand. So anyway, we just wanted to come on and just add this a little to kind of a preface to the episode, I guess, just because we really, truly did appreciate Mr. Gamble meeting us and sitting down and talking with us.
Yeah, and I've always kindly said that I'm not a big Facebook fan. I think it causes more harm than good for the most part. If we could all, listen to what Leroy says and some of those guys and get back to what the hunts used to be about. And I've pleasure hunted with Leroy several times. I've hunted against him in competition hunts several times. And when you go out on a cast with Leroy, you're going to go by the rules. He's going to try to beat you. And I mean, he never packs a slouch to the woods, and he's going to compete as hard as he can. And when the clock is up and you get back in the truck, all that's over.
That's right. He's going to sit down and take you to lunch.
Yeah. He's going to take you to lunch because he won't let you buy. You got to snatch the ticket and try to take it away. And that's a game that that we play at the local diner here. You know, Grant and Leroy and me and, you know, a few others will sit around at the diner sometimes, meet up. And that's the big thing is who can get the ticket. He gets more than anybody, I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's, you know, the conversation we had with him in this episode is the longest conversation I've ever had with him, just, you know, because like you said, it's hard to get him to say a whole lot. And, you know, I've seen him around the clubhouse and talked to him here and there. And as anyone that has listened to the first episodes of this show knows that I am long-winded and I can ask 100 questions. He's always good to answer. He always gives you a good answer, but that's what he gives you, is an answer.
Yeah, you look like a kid in a candy store sitting there listening to him. I'm telling you, you had the dreamy eyes over there.
Yeah, I'm sure I did. But you know, this was kind of the most I've ever heard Leroy say, and I enjoyed every word of it, and I've thought about it in the days since and thought, you know, I get on Facebook and I see that, you know, I find an old post or something and I think, man, we didn't mention the Hall of Fame. We didn't mention, you know, all the accomplishments in 88, and then we totally forgot the cruise ship story. You know, so I've had 100 thoughts since we drove away, and I think we could almost talk to Leroy, you know, 5 more times and probably still not get it all out of him. But anyway, it truly was a pleasure, and Chad and I wanted to come on and just kind of preface the episode you know, make it clear how much we appreciated the time and make sure we get those last little bit of accomplishments out there, because if you ever run into Leroy at the diner, he's probably not going to tell you unless you ask him.
And speaking of the diner, we have a meat hunt every year down here, and it's a big thing for the local guys. And if you go into the diner, you'll see a bunch of plaques. And I don't know how many of them plaques his name's on, but he's probably got more than anybody down there. So he's locally famous and everywhere else famous too, I believe.
He's a man to beat at the meat hunt, apparently.
I'm going to try it this year.
All right, so we will let y'all get back to your regular scheduled Kennel Confidential podcast. We will get out of the way and get to the interview. Well, as usual, thank y'all for listening. We hope you enjoy it. You're listening to the Kennel Confidential podcast, brought to you by the United Tree and Feist Association. I'm your host, Davin Ramage.
I'm your co-host, Chad Wagner.
Let's get into the episode. All right, welcome back to episode number 3 of the Kennel Confidential podcast. Today we are actually on site here at the Twin Lakes Coon Club with Mr. Leroy Gamble. Leroy, before we get started too deep into your dogs, we're going to give you just a minute to introduce yourself and tell us what some of your hobbies are when you're not hunting and following dogs. And then once we get past some of that, we'll jump into the dogs and learn all about your history.
Yeah, I'm Leroy Gamble. Other than squirrel hunting, a little bit of fishing, very little, but other than the squirrel hunting, that's about the extent of my hobbies.
All right. Well, Chad, I will pass the mic to you. I know you've got some questions here and done some digging and research and know Leroy a little longer and deeper than I do, so I will pass the mic to you and let you get going.
Hello, Mr. Leroy.
Hello, Chad.
Well, it took me a little convincing, but we finally got you on here.
You might be sorry.
No, I won't be too sorry. So, when did you actually start in tree dogs?
Oh, gosh. It's been back 45 years ago, probably. I never did do any coon hunting growing up. There wasn't anybody in my family that coon hunted, and I was already grown. As a matter of fact, I was done married before I ever went coon hunting. Me and one of my deer hunting buddies, we was doing a lot of deer hunting, and we was coming in from bow hunting one evening, and Dennis Redden, he said, I'm going to go coon hunting tonight. You want to go? So I thought, coon hunting, you know. So, I go. So that's when I started, and that was, gosh, that was back, like I said, 45 years ago.
What dog did you start out with, or how long was it before you got your first dog?
It wasn't too long. I got a pup out of Dennis Redden's old Sputnik dog, back in the Beach River Sputnik bloodline, and just kind of ballooned from there. So got to liking it pretty good. After 2 or 3 years, then kind of got into the competition part a little bit. So.
Did mostly PKC back then?
Yes, yeah, that's about all we was hunting. Hunted some UKC, but mostly PKC.
I know your famous dog is Old Hillbilly Mike. Was your first dog, or did you have other dogs before him? Tell us a little bit about Mike.
Yeah, I had some other dogs before him, but he was the first dog that I pushed pretty hard in the competition. Me and Grant Black, he was one of the guys that hunted with me back in the day, and pleasure hunting. And the little dog could treat some coons, but he would always be with company, you know, or there'd be another dog with him. But he was 11 months old when he treated his first coon by himself. And then I hunted him about 2 months, about every night, by himself after that, and then turned him in competition world.
Well, you mentioned Grant Black. We've actually got Grant in the audience here. So if you lie too much, I'm sure Grant will speak up and kind of correct it, you know.
Yeah.
But Mike, you done a lot with Mike. And what breed was he?
He was an English breed, a red tick. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look through his paper to tell you his background back very far.
What all did you end up accomplishing with Mike?
Oh, we won the state hunt. I don't know how many times with him, and won the breed hunt, the English hunt. This is all through PKC. And, we made him grand night champion of the UKC, and won the squirrel hunt, or won the second place in the world hunt 1 year. The next year, won the third place in the hunt. And the third year, won the fifth place in the hunt. But in 91, I won the national championship with him. Was probably his biggest win.
But he was always consistent up there in the top five, you know, several years then, wasn't he?
Yeah, he got in the final cast 2 years in a row and wound up in a second and a third place in those two hunts.
And was he I know PKC does a lot with high money winners. Was he ever a high money winner in PKC?
No, not according to now. Yeah, back in the day he was. The first 2 years I hunted that little dog, he was the top money winner in the nation. But wound up, his lifetime earnings was just a little over $57,000.
Yeah, but back then that was a lot of money.
Right, yeah. Yeah, the first year I won that top money winner with him, I'm pretty sure the money was just like $2,800, you know.
So, but in today's money, that's...
Yeah, that's one hunt.
Yeah.
You know, one little hunt.
But in today's money, though, $2,800 is probably $5,000 or $6,000 today.
Right.
But how'd you go from coon hunting to squirrel hunting?
Well, more if I tell you that I got too old.
I've hunted with you. I don't believe that's the case.
Yeah, a lot of these younger guys I can't keep up with now, especially out there at night, you know. And I don't know. I had a little health issue. Had open heart surgery and just a few things, you know.
It wasn't the wife getting on you about being gone all night then?
I think she was proud to see me out.
Oh, okay.
Quit aggravating old man. Go to the woods.
So what dog did you have first when you started squirrel hunting?
Oh, gosh, I had two or three, but I actually hunted a fice back for about 3 or 4 years, a little female. I got out of Ohio, pretty nice little dog. She might not have been a competition dog, but she killed a lot of squirrels with her. But from that, I went to the curves and just, you know, from one bloodline to the other and just whatever I could get what I was looking for out of, you know.
Yeah, I guess you kindly settled in on a dog named Swift, didn't you?
Yeah, he was probably the best dog I ever had.
And you competition hunted him as well?
Yeah, I hunted him in some PKC hunts back when they were still having squirrel hunts.
Now, what breed was Swift? He was Stevens Cur, wasn't he?
He was a Stevens Cur, yeah. He was a little off-colored for the Stevens breed, but he was registered as Stevens, but he couldn't be used for breeding because of the little too much white on him.
No, he was a Stevens Cur. He just didn't quite meet their breed standards.
Right.
And what age was he when you got him?
He was just a puppy.
Just a puppy?
Yeah. So yeah, he's a weaning pup.
So you started him and trained him and everything?
Yeah.
And how old was he whenever you started competition hunting him?
Oh, he was young. He was probably maybe close to 2 year old. Yeah.
And you won the PKC Squirrel World Hunt with him, didn't you, when they was having it?
Right, yeah. Yeah, we looked up and won it 1 year.
And I know I moved down here to Western Kentucky there a couple of years ago and squirrel hunting, and everybody that I know that, or everybody that knows that I squirrel hunt, I see them at the diner, see them around, and that's all I hear is, oh, Swift. That's the best squirrel dog we had in this country, Swift. You know Swift and Leroy Gamble's got. And I actually got to meet Swift before he passed away. He wasn't hunting, but I went out to Leroy's house, and Leroy's like, well, that's the old Swift dog right there, and he was kind of laying around there, so
yeah,
retired. Yeah. And it was kind of nice to at least put a face with the name on the dog, because you know, I think that Leroy had a lot of success. You had a lot of success with, you know, just the first two dogs we've talked about, old Mike and Swift. I mean, you really got up there.
Yeah, you got to have a little luck, but you know, you got to have a pretty decent dog to win the competition nowadays. There's lots of nice dogs out there.
And I know just pleasure hunting with you. I'll get into our next dog is Rudy. I've hunted with Rudy a couple of times, and Rudy has impressed me several times. I've always hunted Feist. I've hunted with and hunted against several curs, but old Rudy impresses me. Can you tell us a little bit about Rudy?
He's a pup out of my old dog, or the Rudy. No, you talking about Rudy or you talking about Burley?
I'm talking about Rudy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I bought Rudy when he was already a started dog. He was pretty much of a squirrel dog when I bought him. He was almost a year old, and we've hunted him pretty hard. I've hunted him in quite a few of the hunts, PKC mostly, but done a little bench showing. With most of my dogs, I wind up benching them a little bit, but had some luck with them on the squirrel hunting.
Now on the bench, I didn't think about that. We're gonna get to them, but every time I see Leroy handle a dog on a bench show, it looks like a statue. He could back up 25 feet and that dog never move. and they look awful good whenever Leroy puts one on the bench. You can tell he works with them a lot with that. And see, Rudy, you hunted him, and did you hunt him in PKC too?
Yeah.
And NSD?
Yeah.
And NKC?
Right.
Did you ever hunt him in UKC any?
Yeah, a little bit. Not much, but I hunted him a little bit.
So you've hunted him in all the big ones?
Yeah. Yeah. Hunted him in one of the truck hunts, NSD, the when they were giving away the Toyota truck, you know. Wound up having to walk home anyway. I didn't have no new truck.
But you've done a lot with Rudy. You've hunting several big hunts, and did you ever get any top spots in with Rudy?
Yeah, we finished reserve world champion over at the Aurora hunt, the world hunt, PKC. Got in the final cast there, and got beat by a good dog that I've been in the woods with several times, and it's pretty impressive, but he wound up beating me the last minute and a half of the hunt.
That's the way it goes sometimes.
That counts just like the first minute and a half, don't it?
Yeah, it does. That's what always impressed me about Rudy is how accurate he is. I mean, from the first time that I've hunted with him to every time, you know, and I know I've told you that many times, that he's just accurate.
Yeah, he is pretty accurate. He's like some of the other dogs I've watched come and go. He's pushing 12-year-old now, so. But I still hunt him a little bit, you know, let him get out.
Yeah, you still put a whipping on us with a 12-year-old dog you did last year.
Oh, me, I don't know about that now.
Anytime you think you've got a good dog and you start getting a big head, just go with Leroy and Rudy, and they'll put you back in your spot a little bit. So now we're up to a dog that I've hunted a lot with, too, is Burley. Is Burley out of Rudy?
Yeah. Out of the old dog.
And you've had him since he was a pup?
Yeah.
Now, I know he started early. What age did he start?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I was hunting him by himself, treeing squirrels with him by himself when he was 6 months old. Yeah.
And I guess PK, you couldn't hunt him in PKC because PKC squirrel hunts are gone now.
Right.
But you've hunted him in all the rest of the regiment. Did you hunt him in NSD as well?
Yeah. Yeah, I hunted him in a little bit of it. Yeah. In the puppy hunt.
In the puppy hunts. And I know, was it last year you got Reserve Dog of the Year in NKC last year, didn't you?
Yeah.
Would you get second place in that? And then last year you was also in the top seven of the UKC Dog of the Year.
Right, yeah.
And then speaking of that, right now you're sitting second place in the UKC Dog of the Year with him.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah, need to get up one more notch.
One more notch?
Yeah.
Now that UKC Dog of the Year, now in they take the top seven to a runoff, don't they?
Right.
And then the top dog gets a bye hunt. They don't have to hunt the morning.
Right.
The second through six hunts together, and the cast winner out of both of those meet the top dog in the final round.
Right.
So you're ready to get that bye hunt is what you're
right,
saying.
Right. I just want to hunt one round.
Ain't no sense of letting them hunt against a good dog twice, is there?
No, I don't know about that. I imagine they're hunting a better dog than I am.
Then you got Burley. You finished him super grand in NKC on hunt, tree, and bench. Is that right?
Right.
And yep. Then he's a double grand on UKC.
Right.
So you've done a lot with him.
I've had him in several hunts, yeah. Yep.
Now, what's the biggest hunt you've had him in?
Probably the... I don't know, the hunt here last year, or I didn't hunt him in the Dog of the Year hunt. He's the one he's qualified to hunt, you mm-hmm. know. That was over in North Carolina, I guess. I didn't want to make the trip. So.
That's way over there in the mountains, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, over in the mountains, yeah. My short legs don't like them tall mountains.
Well, at least you don't have to pack much up, but you're pretty skinny kind of feller. But... Well, I think I'm going to pass this mic back over to Davin. I think he's done a little research on you, some of your past stuff, and he's going to go backwards a little bit in time and capture a little bit more of that stuff that I didn't do a very good job with. So,
all right, Leroy. So far, good stuff. I like it. I am going to back you up just a little bit
and I want to go back to Swift. So you mentioned that Swift was the best dog that you think you've had, and sounds like he had the best reputation anyway.
Probably, overall, any time of the day I'm talking about, you know, a lot of times on an old bad day where some of my dogs and some of my friends' dogs, they was pretty much done. They wasn't treeing no squirrels, and old Swift would still come up with the meat, you know.
Mr. Black, can you verify that?
He would.
I'm just giving you a hard time. Yeah. Well, so what was in? I mean, clearly he stayed hunting, he stayed going, he stayed busy when other dogs were wearing out. But how? Right. At what point? Which, if he was your second, you know, big dog, winning dog, busy dog, at what point were you sure that he was better than the 1991 PKC champ? Which was Mike.
Right. Yeah. Well, Mike, I didn't squirrel hunt him any, but.
Well, hunting, as far as hunting styles and when you cut them loose and staying busy, and I know that no dog of Leroy's is going to hang around your feet very long.
No, they wouldn't be. As far as the hunting ability and the willpower, they wouldn't have been much difference in them as far as that part goes, but they would have been, I don't know, very little difference in them in that part.
So you never combo hunted Swift? You didn't take him at it? By the time you got to Swift, you were done with coon hunting?
Yeah, no, I hunted him some, yeah.
Was he as good on coons as he was squirrels, or did he just prefer the squirrels?
No, he liked the Swift. He liked the squirrels, yeah.
Well, and Chad hit on it just real quickly there, but your dog's on the bench, which the only one I've seen is Burley, and I've seen him a couple of times, and there is no doubt in my mind that everything Chad said is 100% accurate. And I am a bench show lover myself. Of course, I'm newer to the sport and haven't done near the shows you've done. But is there a secret sauce or a skill or a trait that you look for in a dog in order to get one to stand the way you can?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, it don't take too long to find out if he's got what you're looking for on the bench. You know, you don't have to have him up there too many times, but I don't know, a lot of people to me, they work on the wrong end to start with.
Which end is that?
If you work on that head to start with, get them started at their head, you can make the body, you know, you can make the body look its best. If you can get his attention and let him know that, hey, we're standing up here on this bench, we ain't supposed to be, we ain't squirrel hunting, we ain't looking over here in the woods for something and this and that, you know.
So do you work him outside?
He'll get in his head first and then work him out.
Do you train him outside or you take him in a barn or a shop? Or?
Both. I work mine there in the garage some. I got a bench in there. I'll work him a little bit. But then after you get him doing pretty much like you want him to do, then you got to expose him to the
distractions,
the kids hollering and all this stuff, you know. You know?
And I've seen on your Facebook you've got some grandkids to distract a dog, don't you?
Yeah, right.
So do you subscribe to the stand them on a barrel or you know, tying them up, or do you put them on a narrow board or a wide board? Is there any secret like that you're willing to give away?
Really. No, I'll see them. I may be able to hunt somewhere. I may set them up on the tailgate, you know, just.
So just,
but, you know, whatever.
Repetition is your big thing, just lots of repetition. All right. Well, you mentioned that Burley was a pup out of Rudy. Do you have a breeding program? Do you do much of your own breeding, or?
Not a lot. No, I'm not a big breeder. You know, just kind of more or less for myself, you know, and maybe a couple of friends that wants a pup or something.
Rudy's was male, right? Did you have, I guess you had the female too, that yeah. Clearly that Rudy come out of.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, Burley come out of. So did you have the whole litter, or did you just keep Burley? What made you, when you looked at Burley as a pup, what made you want him?
I had the whole litter. But
do you still have them, or did you sell them off after you picked?
Sold them all. Yeah.
And how are they doing? You talk to those guys any?
Yeah, there's a couple of them that's doing good. You know, ones that I've been able to keep up with. And
do they do any competitions?
No,
just pleasure hunting dogs. Nothing wrong with that. Well, tell us a little bit about getting that one more notch for Dog of the Year. Have you done, and I don't have them here in front of me, and Twin Lakes doesn't have great cell phone service.
Right.
So, but where, as far as caster wins, where are you? I know you're in second place last I saw, but where are you?
I'm way behind. I think the one dog out in North Carolina, he's got like 14 wins maybe already, and I've got 8.
Have you done much winning since then, since that was published?
No, I haven't had him in anything.
Which, it's been so hot, I don't. I can't imagine getting out and doing anything.
No, it's if the competition out in North Carolina and another dog or two tell you know that if they continue going to hunts, they'll be hard to get out of first place.
I got you.
Yeah.
Well, as far as all the different styles of hunting, if you were in your prime now, you know, you talk about your age and everything that kind of got you out of the coon dog hunting. If you were in your prime still, if you stayed forever in your prime and could climb the hills and keep up and do everything that you once did, would you prefer coon hunting or squirrel hunting?
If I could go like I used to, the money in the coon hunting is way, way up there now, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd rather get a piece of that and maybe get that Toyota instead of walk home.
Right, get a Toyota and $100,000 to go with it. You know?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Well, so how old is Burley? You may have said it, and I probably missed it, didn't make a note of it. But
he's 3-year-old.
Do you have – so you've got plenty of time left with Burley then. I was going to ask if you had any other pups in the kennel that you was working with or coming up behind him.
I've got some pups there now. I've still got 4 pups. Well, I've got 2 pups that can be sold. I'm going to keep 2 of them out of the old Rudy dog.
Okay. So you start all your own dogs too then? You don't send them off to pens or nobody handles them for you? And
no.
What's your favorite way to do that? The boot leather method, or do you have a pen at your house or your own pen or anything?
No, yep.
Just boot leather. Just get them out there.
Put them, expose them, try to show them what you want them to do out there, you know. I'll show them some squirrels, you know, cage squirrels, live squirrels when they're just puppies. I don't like to do a lot of that.
And you just shoot as many out to them as you can, get the fur in their mouth and make them love it?
Right. Get them to liking it.
So as far as, since we're still talking about Burley, as far as Burley coming out of Rudy, I don't know if we hit on it or not, but who does Rudy go back to? Was he a Steven similar to Swift, or where did he come out of?
No, he's OMCBA bred dog. He, you know, original Mountain Cur bred.
What makes you, you've teased us Fice guys, you've teased us a little bit here before we started recording about hunting Fice, but what is it that makes you prefer the Cur over the Fice?
Some Fice, but Fice as a whole is, they don't use their nose enough for me, you know, their sight and sound. But I know there's Fice out there that uses their nose, you know, more than others, but I like the hound part in them to use that nose, you know. But I want them to do like the Fice. I want them to use their eyes and ears too. But I want them to be able to use that nose. I prefer them to have a little better nose than most Fice has got.
Do you think a Cur will do a good job timbering a squirrel?
Yeah, some of them. Yeah. Probably the Fice might be better as a whole over that because they do use their eyes more so than a Cur.
Cur's a little more nose power, a little more nose heavy.
Right. I like that nose power. You know, but squirrels ain't stirring much and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Well, I think that about wraps up all the questions. And one thing that we always do like to do at the end of the show is get somebody to tell a story. And since we've got an audience here, does anybody have a story on Mr. Gamble here they'd like to tell? You got to have a good one. There's got to be one good
I've
one.
I've got there. Some, but you probably don't want to hear them.
Can't record them.
I got one on Leroy and Grant.
Well, let's hear that one.
Uh-oh.
So I heard a story a while back. I heard a story a little while back, and I've been saving this one up for this because it's about the only story that I know. So back when Leroy and Grant were coon hunting quite a bit, they were getting ready to go to a hunt in Mississippi. So they were getting dogs tuned up a little bit. Leroy, you remember which one I'm talking about?
Probably, yeah. We was hunting night champion dogs, wasn't we?
Yeah, you want to tell everybody about that one a little
go
bit?
Go ahead.
So they go out, and they're getting dogs ready and night champions and everything, and they get out, and their dogs treat a possum. I guess they give them a pretty good tune-up, and they get going to Mississippi, and they're talking back and forth. Well, we might not do no good, but we ain't going to get scratched for treeing no possums, because when you get up to that level, if you tree off game, you're scratched. Well, they get down to Mississippi, and they draw out, and Leroy gets back to the clubhouse, and Grant's sitting there. He asked Grant, he said, well, how'd you do? He said, Grant said, I got scratched on a possum. Grant said, well, how'd you do? He said, I got scratched on a possum.
No, we sure did.
So just because you do all that work doesn't mean you ain't going to have some bad luck when you get there, is it?
That's right.
Those dogs get to ride in the box on the way home, or did they have to ride?
I don't know. Did I drag mine behind the truck? Home? Maybe. No, we carried them back home.
And fed them.
Reclashed, yeah.
tried it another night.
Right.
So you've been into it for a while, Leroy. You got a lot of guys that's out there I see on Facebook, and there's a lot of controversy about these hunts, and first one thing, then another. What would you tell people that's thinking about getting into the competition side, and you got any words of wisdom?
If you don't know how to lose, learn how to lose before you get in. You ain't gonna win them all, you know. But no, competition. I love the competition part. Like I said, I wish I was 50 years old again, you know. But if I could still go up them hills, I'd still be in them every weekend if I could. But yeah, the competition. If you'll do it right, it's a good thing. But
I know, like I said, we're sitting here at Twin Lakes, and you know, I live down here in Western Kentucky now, where we're at, and I've said it in a couple other podcasts that we've done, that, you know, make lifelong friends and stuff like that. And here I'm sitting here with Leroy Gamble and Davin Ramage and Grant Black and Donald Barnes, and every one of these guys I've met through squirrel hunting and competition hunting more than anything. And all these guys sitting here, I believe I could call on them, and they would do anything that I needed them to do, and at the same time, they could call on me, and I'd be there do anything they needed to do. So to me, the competition side, that's what the biggest plus to that is for me. So, Davin, I'm going to give this back to you. I always try to get a story out of guys, and that's the only story that I've got. And Grant won't play along and give us any other ones. And I mean, I've got a couple of other stories, but we don't have a beeper, so I'll leave that one alone. So,
well, I did think of one more question here, Leroy, that Chad likes to ask, and I can't believe he skipped over it this time. But especially, so I asked Chad, I guess, in the first episode, and then Chad asked Todd Coles. So we've heard the two Feist guys' opinions, but from an experienced houndsman and an experienced cur guy, what is your opinion on the progression of the dogs? Do you think the cur is a breed, the dogs are better? Are they getting better, or are they kind of plateauing and progressing and staying the same?
Well, in in a sense, yeah, I think they're getting better. And my opinion is, and people ain't going to agree with this.
Well, that's all right.
Especially some of them. But these dogs, the hounds, the curs, and the feist, they're getting pretty well mixed up. There's some breeds that's still holding, you know, pretty much what they want and the blood they want. But the three dogs, the hounds and the curs and the feist, there's a lot of mixed blood in there, and I believe they've messed with it as far as the competition part and the pleasure both mixed together. I believe they got a better line of dogs now as in a whole.
Well, and I liked one of the points that Mr. Coles made on the earlier episode. You know, he had made the comment, and it hit home with me pretty good. I thought it made a lot of sense, but he had made the comment that he wasn't sure it was the competitions that were making the dogs any better. Do you think is it the competitiveness of the sport, or is it just progression of genetics?
Could be the competition, because when you put that dog out there, you know, with the competition, you naturally going to want your dog to look better than the dog that you're hunting with, and I think you'll probably spend more time with that dog if you're competition hunting to try to make him better than you would if you're just out just coon hunting, just squirrel hunting, you know.
Gotcha. So,
because when you get out there competition hunting, and this rule and that rule and this rule, that affects your dog, and you automatically going to try to work on that.
I guess
if your dog's got a problem with getting in trouble with a certain rule, you know, you're gonna have to. If you can't get the rule changed, you're gonna have to change your dog. You know,
right.
So I think that people works with that more so on the competition side than they do just the pleasure hunting.
So keep breeding the dogs that ride in the dog box, not the ones that come home tied to the bumper.
Right.
Well, all right. I think that was a good episode. Good questions, good answers. Leroy, we appreciate it.
Well, thank y'all.
Is there any way that you'd want people to find you if they could find you? You can say no.
Probably. Y'all don't know any way they can find him. Yeah. No, they could probably find me if they need to get a hold of me.
Well, nothing else. It sounds like they can definitely find you at a competition hunt.
Right. Yeah. Come down in 2 weekends, you can find me here probably.
Yeah, September 9th at Twin Lakes, right?
Right.
9th and is it 3 days? 9th, 10th, 11th?
9th and 10th. It's 2 days. It's a UKC hunt.
UKC hunt, 9th and 10th, 2 days at a Twin Lakes bench show and the whole Kerr and Feist. Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Leroy, again, thanks. We appreciate it. Mr. Barnes, Mr. Black, thanks for sitting around and listening. I wish you'd tell one story on him, though, because I saw your paper in this news, your picture in this newspaper here, too. Donald said they won't be friends.
Big flat, Donald.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate it. We're going to pack it up and maybe get out of this heat, go stand under one of these fans.